Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. This is a passage of Scripture that I've wanted to minister for 12 years, and God would not let me. It's something that's stirred in my heart. I've saw pieces and bits of it, and God has began to open this thing up to me and show me that this is something that's going on internal in our lives. As long as we look external for anything of God, we're missing God. We're seeing physical things, but not God. Because God is spirit. True or false? God is spirit, so I need to seek Him in spirit, don't I? See, I can't chase after Him in the physical. And I've found something out in my life, really plainly, is that what controls what I do in my physical body is what I think inside. Would you agree with that? And if I'm thinking in my insides, in my mind, in my spirit, that everything is external about God, do you think I'll ever really touch God? Because He's out of reach, you're reaching the wrong direction. Because God is in our heart. So I need to look internal in me. And I hope you can stay with me today wherever we need to go. Okay? But Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Do you have any problem? It's right after Ecclesiastes. Okay? That's a hard one too. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Okay. Well, if I'd have put Job on there first, Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, that's the book that, five books that, what would you call it? The ecclesiastical people, the religious system, they call that the books of poetry. And I really don't see it as poetry. I see it as just a great revealing. Yeah, it's just truth. They're books of wisdom. They're books of intimacy. In Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, even in Job, it is a book about someone having an intimate relationship. Even in Job, he had a tremendous, thought he had a relationship with God until God started stirring in his life and showed him where he was really at. And when he found out God was resident in him and he didn't have to go out there and seek for Him all over the world, God restored him. And the ones who had really created the problem, which was his friends, which was the religious sect, guess what He did for them? He went and prayed and had the leprosy and all the diseases removed from them so they could be restored also. And isn't that a beautiful picture of what our job is? See? God has set us in a place. We've got to go through all this testing and everything so we can be purified, so we can go back and get the rest of them. That's the most beautiful picture in the world. Okay. Chapter 2 of the Song of Solomon. Father, this morning we know Your Spirit is alive in all of us. And Father, You have a purpose and a plan for everything that's going on in our lives. We're not shaken, just as You are not shaken by anything going on in this world or anything going on in our lives. But You are as solid as the rock of Gibraltar. Father, that rock will be in our hearts as a foundation throughout eternity. And we know this, and we stand upon that rock today. So when the testings of the Spirit come against us, Father, we will stand. We bless You today for the revelation of Your love in our hearts. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is My love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is My beloved among the sons. I sat down under His shadow with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and His right hand does embrace me. I charge you, ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awake My love till He please. The voice of My beloved, behold, He cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, He stands behind our wall. He looks forth at the windows, showing Himself through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green leaves, and the vines with tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethir. Oh, my. What a beautiful picture. If we will understand as we read this passage of Scripture, this is not just a woman, as they have called the Shulamite, because the word Solomon is Shulamon. It's Shulamite. He was a Shulamite. And he's talking about something here. It's something going on internally in his life. It's his soul communing with God in him. Do you hear me? This is what should be going on in our lives. We should be recognizing that this is my soul in love with the Christ that dwells within each one of us. Okay? So this is like a conversation that they're having back and forth. And I'll try to show it to you the different times when which one is speaking. And then this first verse, he said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Who's speaking? It's the Christ speaking. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. See, what's he telling you? As the rose is among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. What's the rose among the thorns? It's the Christ. It's the beauty. And he's saying, the beauty of my love in amongst all this stuff of the world, this flesh, this mess that we're in. See, it's the same as what? Another analogy. He said, so is my love among the daughters, the soulish realm. In the soul, my love in the soul is just like the rose among the thorns. His love placed in our soul, does it really look so good? What looks better, the love of God or our soulish love? It's the love of God that's the beauty in this thing, and we don't see it. Who's got the New King James? You got it? Read that verse in the New King James.
Verse 2?
Yes.
Like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters.
It's something special, okay? In Titus, I believe it's where it's at, Titus 2 and 14, I want to take you there. You don't have to go there if you don't want to. It's right before I get there, just a second. I'm in the wrong place, but I'll get there in a minute. There it is. Titus 2 and 14. He says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. A peculiar people. Everyone's heard this statement. We're a peculiar people for God. They think we're supposed to be some kind of weirdos. Not true. This word peculiar means special. And that's what he's telling us right here. We are a special people amongst all the women, all the daughters, he says. See? All the souls. There's a special one, and that's the ones he's chosen. First fruit. Because when we talk of him, are we talking of one person or many people in one? It's many. See, it's a corporate. So he's saying, this one that I have chosen, this many-membered body, is special. Among all the daughters there, they're special because he chose them. No other reason. Anybody that's chosen for this purpose is not anything you do. You've not earned your way. You're not any better than anybody else. It's just God's sovereign choice to use that vessel. He says, as the apple trees among the trees of the forest. Isn't an apple tree much more beautiful at the time of spring? Isn't it much more beautiful at the time of harvest? You've got some fruit there. See? Most of the trees of the forest, do they really produce a harvest for us for food? They don't. Just like most of humanity doesn't reproduce in that way either. The apple tree is you. He said, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his what? His shadow. Everyone know what Psalm 91 verse 1 says? The shadow of the Almighty. Isaiah said it another way. He said, you shall dwell in the noonday shadow. Where is the noonday shadow? It's under my feet. There is no shadow. It's right under me. So if I'm going to dwell in the noonday shadow in Him, where am I standing? I'm in Him, and He's in me. That's the same thing He's saying. It's not going to be you and me. It's not going to be you and me, God. It's going to be us, God. And it's going to be one. Not going to be two people separated. And He says, with great what? Now, do you hear what He said? I'm going to sit in His shadow. That means I'm not in control, doesn't it? If I'm sitting in someone's shadow, who's in control? If I'm behind the scenes, who's running everything? The one out in front, see? The one casting the shadow, right? Right? So the one casting the shadow is the one in control. Is that me? Is it you? Who is it?
Christ.
It's the Christ. So He says, get back towards that. With great delight, see? Great delight. That means it's a pleasure to be in that position. How many people think it's a pleasure to be humbled by God? Huh? How many thinks it's a pleasure? If you say yes, I'm going to say you're a fool. Because it's not easy, is it? I mean, there's nothing easy about what He's called us to do. It's not easy to be humbled by God. God knows, He knows exactly how to get into you. See? One person is one way, but another person is another way. And about as many people as there is, there's that many different types of pride that He has to deal with, but He knows exactly how they are, and He knows how to do it. But it's got to be with great delight. And look what it says. Here's what was sweet to my taste. Huh? What's He talking about? Fruit. Come on. What is the fruit He's talking about here? It's the change in your life. See, the fruit is what the change that came in your life since God came in your life and started rearranging things. He didn't ask you, did He? He never came to me and asked me if He could do anything in my life. He just showed up and began doing what He wanted to do. And I realized somebody else was in control and I wasn't. And I wrestled and I fought it for a long time, like everybody else does, until I realized I can't win this one. He's going to win regardless. But His fruit was sweet to my taste, right? We can look in Galatians and in Ephesians about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what is this thing that comes into my life? Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, all these wonderful things. Quote them for me, bub. How many people have that quality? See? But that's the thing. See, because when those things come in your life, guess what you've got to do?
Sit down.
And rest. Why? Who's in control? If it's me, I'm not going to sit still for somebody to walk over top of me when I've got myself in me yet. But when He's humbled me down, I can sit down and people can do me wrong and I say, well, someone comes and steals from me. What am I going to do? Get mad? Shoot them? Call the law? Or I'm going to say, well, obviously God wanted this possession that I had and I probably got too much anyway. So probably God wants this in their possession and this is the only way He had to get it there at the time. So, okay. That's not natural, is it? That's exactly what it is. See, that's the things that we have to have, that taste in our mouth. His fruit has to be sweet in our mouth when we can forgive and have grace and mercy for everybody on the face of the earth. See, that's the hard thing we can't do. Not in ourselves. This has to be supernatural by the Spirit of God to be able to let someone do something like that to violate you, take your territory, and then you just say, well, okay, I'll just move back and find another place that's more comfortable. Whatever it takes. See, in the shadow. He brought me to the what? Literally, it doesn't say banquet house. What's it say? Anybody know? It's the house of wine. He brought me to the house, which is a place of banqueting, by the way. It is a feast. But it's a house of wine. Wine does not speak of a fermented grape juice. It's speaking of the revelation of God. And because of these gifts of the Spirit, this fruit that He's brought in our lives, we can sit down now and partake in the house of banqueting or in the house of revelation of God's Word, because now the fruit tastes sweet to you. It's not bitter in your mouth any longer. See, because God has brought the fruit in your life. Nothing that you did, is it? It's what He did. Because it says, He brought me to the banqueting table or the house of wine. And His banner was over me. And His banner over me, what?
Love.
Oh, imagine that. What is God?
See?
So if I don't have a spirit of love in me, guess what I am missing?
Love.
I'm missing God. If I don't have the spirit of love, then I'm missing God, because God is love. And I'm not talking about in a worldly way. Because in a worldly way, we love, I think Paul dealt with and said, well, don't the heathens even love their own? See, even the Gentiles, they love their own. I mean, you can take a dog out here and she'll kill somebody or fight somebody over them little pups. They're hers. She's going to protect them. But see, where's the godly love going to come in when I love you in spite of what you do to me? You can't do nothing to make me hate you. What are you going to do with that one? That's the love God's talking about. We're not talking about this conditional stuff. We're talking about a love that no matter what you do, what you say, it's not going to change the way I feel about you. What kind of love is that?
Agape.
That's agape or supernatural love. It's not about whether I like you, dislike you, like the way you dress, the way you look, what you have. That has nothing to do with it. It's God's children are, is all of us. Who can I kick out and not love? What child on the earth can I say I don't love? Huh? See, that's what he's talking about. This thing can't be a conditional thing. It's all about what he's doing. He says, stay me, or literally sustain me with flagons. Anybody know what flagons is? The raisin cakes. Well, what is raisins again? It's grapes. It's the same thing as wine. It's the revelation. He says, stay me with your food, what you have prepared for me. It's not a cake that's been baked in an oven. It's just something that's been pressed together. You know what? When somebody gets up too close to you, what's it feel like? You're getting into my space now. See? You're getting squished up against another raisin, see? It's part of putting us together. He said, comfort me with what? Okay. Why did he say, comfort me with an apple? Anybody ever been comforted with an apple? This is spiritual language. It's not physical, natural things. Why would he say, comfort me with an apple? Well, let me ask you. Have you ever been around an orchard in the fall of the year when they're harvesting apples? Huh? Has anybody been there? Sure you have. What do you smell? You smell the fragrance, see? And that fragrance speaks of his spirit, his sweet spirit in us. See, so he comforts me with the apple. And he even says we're the apple of his eye. That's his spirit. We're the same spirit. He said, because I am sick of love. Now that sounds like he's just had enough of it and he's ready to leave. That's not what he said. What it should say is I am love sick. See, he loves you so much that he's got you on his mind so much he can't do anything else. You ever been there? We all have. When we were so in love with our mates, when we first got together, that there was nothing in the world. You could blow a bomb up beside of us and it wouldn't make any difference. You could steal our cars. It didn't make no difference. Just my love. See?
Put your arm around someone, don't move it for nothing.
Yeah. Your arm about fall off, but I don't want to take that arm off because I'm touching her. See, that's lovesick. Everybody's been there. Come on. You all grin and not me. Yeah. Well, see, that's the way he feels about you. This is what he's trying to convey to you. He's so in love with you, he's so engrossed with you, that nothing that you can do or anything can happen in the world that will take his purpose away from bringing you back to where you belong. That ought to make you happy, to know that God loves you that much. That no matter what's going on, he is so lovesick that he's just, He's got to be there. Okay? He's just got to be there. Now she says here, his left hand is where?
Under my head.
Under my head. You know what this looks like? He's got her here. He's got his other hand, his right hand, he's embracing her and hugging her. Yeah. That's what it is. And that's what he's saying. What's it really speaking about? Intimacy. Intimacy. And she's telling what he's doing with her. See? So we need to understand that this is going on inside of us, that the Christ in me is wooing my soul. He's got his hand around her, under her head, propping her up. And he's caressing her with the right hand. We're talking about real intimacy here. Not something natural. We're talking spiritual. And he's comforting her. He says, and his right hand does embrace me, right? The real true intimacy by him. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. This is what she's saying, he's saying. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the buck gazelle or a gazelle, and by the hinds or the deer of the field, that you stir not up nor awake my love till what? Whose control is this? She's saying, leave him alone until it's time. See, that doesn't go with the church structure today, which says, go out there and knock on doors and get them drug into the church. He says, leave him, she says, leave him alone, leave him alone until it pleases him to rise up. Whose choice is this? It's God's choice. See, we're not to go out there and try to condemn people and beat them up because they don't go to church. Come on. Or because they have this vice or that vice. Come on. And when he's stirred up in you, the Christ that's within every one of us, the supernatural power of God, is so powerful, you don't have the power to do anything that he doesn't tell you to do. If God says, come, what will you do? You'll come. If he says, you just go on out there and stay for a while, well, you'll stay out there. See? You got to realize you can't deny the power of God in your life. You can't show me anywhere in this book where anybody has denied the power of God. Nobody has. When God said, I want them to do it, what do they do? Even Pharaoh, the wicked man, when God said, told Moses, you go down and tell him, let my people go, but he's not going to because I'm going to tell him not to. I'm going to harden his heart. And what did he do? Wouldn't let him go. Even though Pharaoh wanted to let him go, Pharaoh would have let him go. God said, nope, I need him to be hard. So that's okay. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes springing up on the mountains and skipping upon the hills. Doesn't that sound like somebody that's lovesick? Now you get somebody that's in love, like two teenagers, and you'll see them doing the silliest things in the world, won't you? Something like some of us adults do when we're the same way. Isn't that true? We do the same things. When you love somebody, you just get kind of silly and just do all kinds of things. And that's what he's saying. He's so engrossed in us that he'll do all kinds of things to get us where we need to be, to show us how much he loves us. My beloved, and this is what she's saying, he says again, he's telling about him, resembles a gazelle. Did anybody ever see a gazelle? How beautiful an animal it is. I mean, when they're standing on a mountain or see them in these, even in the zoos when they have, they're just a beautiful animal. And that's what she's saying. He's such a majestic, beautiful thing. And that's what our soul should be saying about who? The Christ within us. We should see him as being so majestic and so beautiful in our lives that we can't, that she's just doing the best she can to compare him to the most beautiful, powerful experience in the animal kingdom. That beautiful gazelle running on the mountains. Or a young hart or a young stag deer, male deer. He's like a young man, okay, that he's in love with. Behold, he stands behind our wall. Uh-oh. Where's he at? Behind the wall. He's behind the flesh, see? He's behind that wall. And it's whose wall is it? Who built it? We did. We built a wall. See, and there's a wall in our minds, and he looks forth out of the windows, and literally it says showing himself, or literally glancing through the lattice. Now, has anybody ever looked through some lattice?
Yep.
Tell me what you see.
See,
you can just see pieces. And you got to go. He's trying to sneak a glance, isn't he? He's looking out, trying to find. And notice he wasn't looking in, was he? He was looking out. So where's he at?
Inside.
He's inside of you. Okay. She says, "My beloved spoke and said to me." Oh. Now notice, was there any hesitation when that came about? "Rise up. Rise up to me," is what it should say. "My love. My, not fair, but my beautiful one." How does God portray you?
Beautiful.
You're beautiful. Every time it says fair in here, it's beautiful. When God looks at you, He sees you as what?
Beautiful.
Is that someone that's mad at you?
No.
No. This is God trying to show you how much He loves you and how wonderful and how beautiful He has created you. And we're talking about your inner being. Okay? He said, "Rise up, my love, my beautiful one, and do what? Not come away, but literally come with me." See? Come with me. He has a journey. If we look in the book of Revelation, I think it's chapter 14, talks about the 144,000 on Mount Zion that had their father's name written in their forehead, and it said they were virgins. And they followed who?
Whithersoever
they wanted to go?
Nope.
See? We got to follow Him. When He gives that command in your life, and see, there's no condemnation if God doesn't speak to you and say, "Follow me," then what should you do? Just continue on what you're doing. But when God says, "Follow me," what should you do? You will. You will. There's no problem with that. You will. Okay. And this is what He says here. And this is why He says, "Come away with me." Verse 11. This is Him speaking again. He says, "Because, lo, the what is past." What is winter? It's the death time. Everything dies in winter, doesn't it? Goes into remission on everything. It's the death. And it's past. The time of death is past. The time of carnality in you should be what? Didn't the carnal man die on the cross? The last man, the last Adam? And it says, "And the reign is over and gone." What is the reign? What's the reign? Tell me what the reign does in winter. There it goes. Rain is a preparation. The rain that we receive in the fall and the winter brings life when? Absolutely. And see, all this death that comes in our life, all this testing that comes in our life, all through the time of winter, we still have rain. And in the time of when all this stuff is dying in our life, He's still preparing the rain to prepare us, which is the Word of God, which is life, isn't it? So it's all in there together. It's all working together to bring fruit in the springtime. Right? That's what it's doing. So in the midst of all these things, it seems like death in our lives, when we feel like we'd just rather die than go on, guess what? Know that there's rain coming. And didn't He say we needed to get the former and the latter rain? We need to get all this rain so we can produce the fruit in our life. And that latter rain, former rain, guess what it is? It's the Word of God. It's the truth of God. Not the religious teachings that they teach, but the truth of God in your life. And that'll set you free. He said, "The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of singing birds has come. And the voice of the turtle..." No, turtle dove. Turtles don't talk, do they? Okay. I know turtles don't talk. I'll tell you a story about it someday, but not now. I know turtles don't talk. I have experience. "But the turtle dove is heard in our land." Look what He's saying. The flowers appear in the earth. What is the flowers? It's the beginning. It's the beginning of what?
New life.
The flowers bring forth and bring fruit, which is the seed to bring new life. And as soon as this appears on the earth, The birds begin to sing. It's warming up a little bit, isn't it? Starting to get nice out, and this is inside. And the voice of the turtle dove. Now, what's the turtle dove? It's the Spirit of God. Whenever you come to life, what's He telling you? When you come to life and you start showing this, what are you going to hear?
The voice of God.
Hello?
You're going to hear the voice of God.
The turtle dove, what's it represent?
His voice.
The Spirit of God in you. Come on. It's the Spirit of God in you that He is showing you that you are going to be heard where? Where are you going to hear it? In you. It's time to hear in you once you come to this place. We could say that's Pentecostal experience, couldn't we? The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes. Green figs. The fig tree puts forth her green figs. They're not ripe yet, are they? Not ready. And the vines, the tender grapes, or literally the blossoms. Tender grapes isn't there, it's just blossom. Put forth a blossom. You know what the first tree to bloom in Israel is every year?
Fig tree.
Fig tree is the early one. Okay? And the blossoms give a what? Good smell. And He says, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come to me. Isn't that all God's saying in her life? He's just wanting you to come to Him. Because He's going to control everything. He's going to take care of you. He's going to be your protection. He's your high tower. He's your strength, isn't He? So all you have to do is come to Him and sit in the shadow with Him. And guess what? What do you have to do? Just be there. Just be there. Verse 14. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock. What is the rock? See? You're in Him. Hello. There's a beautiful thing. He's not in me now, but I'm in Him. That means that I'm not important anymore to me. He's more important to me. And so when you see me in Him, what are you seeing first? Him, not me. He said, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Secret places is not a very good choice of language for this. The better choice of it is in the protection of the what? The language says it this way. In the protection of, the word stairs here is in the protection of the inaccessible place. In the protection. He said, oh my dove, you are in the cleft of the rock. You're in me. You are in the secret place or the place of protection, which is an inaccessible place. What are we talking about? The Holy of Holies. You are in me, and nothing can touch you in any way. What did Jesus tell the disciples? You shall tread on serpents and scorpions, that's demons, devils, whatever, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Did you hear it? What can happen to you? Nothing can happen in your life or my life unless God permits it. So if someone decides to run over me today and wipe me out on the highway, what's it to me? Why am I all upset about if somebody run into me? If they take me out, where am I going to be? Well, then what am I upset about? See, people are dying, and they're dying their last breath, clawing to get one more breath in this realm of flesh and turmoil. Why? You get these people say, oh, I can't wait to die and go be with Jesus. And as soon as someone says you're about to die, they'll sell the whole world to get one more breath. Well, isn't that what they said they wanted to do? Do they really believe what they believe? I don't think they do. If being with God is so great, then why don't everybody want to be there? Huh? It's fear of the unknown. And all they got to do is come into His shadow, walk in His presence, and let Him show you His love in you. And you know what? You'll have no more fear, because perfect love casts out what?
All
fear. That's all it is. It's a fear that drives everything in our life. And if we can come out of that fear, guess what? It's just going to make it so nice. Does that mean everybody will leave you alone? No. No. It just means they're not going to affect you. You're going to love them just like He loves you, with a perfect love. Right? And when he says this in verse 14, he says, "Oh, my dove, you're in the cleft, you're in me, in the place of protection, in the inaccessible place, in the holiest of holies." He says, "Let me see your countenance." You know what he's saying? We're in the intimate place now. All the veils come off now. See? In the Holy of Holies. It's like the wedding night. And the bride and the groom come together and he says, "Now's the time for me to see your beauty." See? The intimate time. We're not getting in the gutter here. We're talking about beauty here. The love of God. And he's going to take us into his Holy of Holies. To the inaccessible place to the mind of man. Only you can get there through the Spirit of God. And when he takes you in there, guess what? He says, "I want to see your intimacy. I want to be intimate with you." How many of us are going to wrap ourselves in some other cloth and not give ourselves unto our man? Huh? How many of us won't give ourselves to their husband? That's what he's talking about. He wants it all. He wants you. No strings attached, no backing up. And he says, "Let me hear your voice, because pleasant is your voice, and your countenance is beautiful." Why did he say that? Now, this isn't somebody trying to hit on somebody. Okay? He's speaking his love to this woman. That's Christ in you speaking to your soul. And until you open up and hear what he's saying, when he says, he said, "Let me hear your voice, because it's pleasant." Does that sound like somebody who don't want to be around you? Does that sound like somebody who's vengeful and who's mad with you? Angry at you? See, he knows that her voice is sweet. Why? He's heard it, but it's his voice. See, my woman should be saying what my man's saying. True or false? My soul should be speaking by the Spirit that dwells within us. So my voice in my soul should be comparable to the voice of the man, Christ, in us. True or false? Okay? That's why he knows it's pleasant. There's no contradiction. They're getting along. How about that? That'd be unique or novel, wouldn't it? The only reason we have trouble in the exterior is because the interior is struggling. Okay? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if there's turmoil in my heart, what's in my external?
Turmoil.
See, that's what I said earlier when I realized that my blood pressure was out of whack, and it was out of whack because of what was going on inside of me. Not the outside. I was hiding everything out here. See, I said, "I'm being smooth," and says, "I'm going to be smooth outside," but inside I was in this big bowl of soup just boiling. See, and when I come to a place and realize I can't hide it anymore because it's going to kill me if I don't let it loose. Do you know that? It'll kill me if I don't let it loose. So I release it, and now everything just levels back out. He said, "Your voice is pleasant, and your countenance is beautiful." And then here comes something from the soul. Listen what she says. "Take us," or literally the language says, "catch for me. Catch for me the little foxes that spoil the vine, that destroy the vine. For our vines are in blossom." They're getting ready to produce. What's she saying? She said, "Catch for me the little foxes." What's she saying to her man? "Get them things out of my head. Catch them little foxes that come to destroy." Them little foxes are thoughts in your heart. The condemnation, the guilt, the low self-esteem, and all the other multitude of things that are not good. She's saying, "I know who you are now. I recognize your authority in my life. You're my man. And I'm asking you, the great hunter, to hunt down them foxes in my life." You know what it's saying? She's humbling herself and realizing she can't catch the foxes. And he's right there to take them, isn't he? He said, "Behold, I stand at the door." Yeah. I'm right here. I don't have to go anywhere. But she has got a hold of something, and she realizes that these little foxes, these thoughts in her mind, this is the soul of Solomon speaking, that's what destroys the vine. And didn't he say that he is the vine and we're the branches? And it's going to destroy the vine in me if I don't get them little thoughts out. Do you hear me? I have to get them out. And he has to help me get them out. Because our vines or our garden is in blossom. That means he's already came up. He's already stirred something in me. And life has begun to produce in my life. And the only reason life can come in my life is because life has came into me by God. Seed produces like kind. If God comes in, what's going to come out? God's going to produce out of you. It'll be God. Verse 16. My beloved is mine and I am his. How many people really want to lay hold of that one? I could hear a woman saying, get your hands off my man. Don't you even be getting close to my man. They'd jump up and slap you. Get away from my man. That's my man. And that's okay to have that in your heart when you're talking about the man inside of you. It's okay to be possessive of him. And that's what her language shows. My beloved is mine, and I am his. And he does what? He feeds among the lilies. Literally it says, he pastures his flock in the valley. What happens in the valley? Everything runs downhill and comes to the valley, don't it? All the water, everything. And that's what starts the growth process. That's where all the processing is done. But when that processing is done, guess where you're going to go? Look at here. He said he feeds or he pastures his flock among the lilies or in the valley. And then he says in the 17th verse, until the daybreak. And when the daybreak on top of the mountain and the light shows up there, where are you going to go? Are you not going to ascend? What's the spirit of Revelation say? Come on up hither, see? He said, until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. When the day is bright and sunny, there's no shadows in your life in the noonday, is there? He said, turn, right? When this day breaks in her life in this verse 17, what is it really in your life? It's the reality of Christ in you when that day breaks in your life. And the shadows flee away. See, shadows are only there because there's light there. Is that right? And if it's a perfect light, you know, we can stand in a room, but if the light is perfect from all angles around you, tell me where a shadow would be. There wouldn't be any except under your feet. See, there wouldn't be any shadows. If the light is perfect from all angles, which we very seldom could find something like that in a room, but there'd always be a shadow there. And he says, until the shadows flee away. The next word, turn, is not correct. It says, surround. Surround me, my beloved. What's she crying for? Intimacy and protection. Surround me, protect me. Until the shadows are fleed away. Until the day star raises in your heart, we need his protection. Don't we? He says, my beloved, and be thou like a what? A gazelle or a young stag deer upon the mountains of Bethair. Now, what does that one mean? The word Bethair means a place of sacrifice. Oh, my. Until, he says, now, whoa, geez. Until the day star raises in your heart and the shadows flee away, surround me, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a buck deer or stag deer upon the mountains. Be beautiful to me, but upon the mountains of Bethair. And you know what he's talking about? It's the cross. See, until I come to them places, till I come to that place where I realize who I am, I need that protection of that cross in my life. And when I come to that place and know who I am, just as Jesus walked beyond the cross, he accepted the cross in his life, and he walked beyond it. He doesn't need the cross anymore, does he? See, and until that time, my soul needs that cross in my life. Come on. I need that cross in my life until I come to a place where I know who I am. That's my very highest protection. The greatest intimacy I can have is to embrace that cross. And nobody wants to do it. See, this is going on in here. This isn't some old rugged cross hanging on a tree with nails in it. Those are shadows and types.